Good morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today is Wednesday, June 26, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-233-23 and E-234-23. The appellant is Jim Kennewick LLC with parcel numbers 1-3599-301-0522-005 and 1-3599-309-0003-001. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove the valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I so affirm.
I so affirm.
I so affirm.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair.
Okay, this is a commercial hearing. We allow an hour for these. First 20 minutes, we'd like to hear from you, Mr. Brusk, and then we will, next 20 minutes, we'd like to hear from the assessor. We'll have some questions back and forth, and then we will adjourn and deliberate. And you'll, as Marisol said, you'll receive our answer within 4 weeks. Okay, with that, you may proceed.
Okay. Hi. So first, I just want to double check you guys do have the evidence that we submitted to the board.
We have a package of evidence, yes.
Okay. So this is a Walgreens property. It's on 1.73 acres of land. It's 14,736 square feet. The petition was originally filed on October 17, 2023, after a 6% increase to the assessment. This was largely driven by a 339% increase on the building and improvements for parcel ending in -005. In support of the original petition, three sale comps were provided on the petition form that were within a 7-mile radius of the subject property that sold from June 21 through January 5th of 23. They had an average sale price of 197. So that was the original basis for the petition. And then in discussions with the assessor's office, they had provided some sale comps, and our discussions largely focused around sale comps because it seemed that that's what they were relying on. And they had provided sale comps of leased drug stores to support their valuation. They had an average sale price of $313 before being adjusted, and they were increased with time adjustments to $379. The taxpayer just wanted to point out that the time adjustments only served to increase the purchase prices when the original purchase prices that were the sales that the assessor's office relied on was $313, but they didn't make any other adjustments to their sales for market conditions or conditions of sale type or type of financing, etc. And that the taxpayer also wanted to point out that 2018 through 2020 was definitely a stronger market than mid-2020 with COVID on and onward, with throughout rising interest rates, and So then, in our evidence that was submitted to the board, we relied heavily on three of the sale comps that the assessor's office provided to us in an attempt to kind of work things out before the hearing. We also provided a sale comp of a Rite Aid, which is located at 410 West Bonneville Street in Pasco. I do know that it was after the date of valuation, but it was included to show the fact that the valuation at 5.3 million is not just the value of the real estate. It's including the value of the business that's located within the property. This was a Rite Aid. It announced that the store was closing, but they were still paying for 30 months on their lease, but it sold at $197 a square foot. So the taxpayer wanted to include that as good evidence of what the real estate value, the actual bricks and sticks, should be valued at. And that's located on, I believe, the ninth page of our presentation, sorry. Next, we also included another property located at 9527 Sandifer Parkway that sold in 2022 at $194 a square foot as well. And then you'll see we also included three of the comps that the assessor's office relied upon as well. And the average of the sale comps that we presented to the assessor's office and now the board is $246 per square foot. Let me just make sure I.
Before we go too much further, could you speak a bit to why there are two parcel numbers for the same property? Is it somehow split?
For the subject property?
Yes.
Yeah, it's split. It's kind of I believe in the assessor's presentation there should be a map. It's kind of split down the middle. There's one trying to find it.
One corner of the property is separate. It's not split in the middle. One corner of the property is separate, and it's kind of like a box within a box kind of thing, George. You could see it on ours. We'll show you that later if you like.
So okay. But apparently it encompasses both building and land, though, from what I'm seeing.
Correct. There's a building and land value assigned to each parcel.
All right.
Then the last thing that the taxpayer wanted to point out in terms of sale comps is we also on page 10 provided the assessments for all of the sales that the assessor's office had relied upon in increasing them only with the time adjustments. But you'll see on page 10 of our presentation that the average assessed value for 2023 of these other Walgreens and Rite Aids that the assessor's office relied upon was $275 per square foot, which is in line with what the taxpayer's requesting of 3.978 million or $269.95 per square foot. George, are you okay if I move on? Sorry, it looked like.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm just trying to follow the numbers here. Okay, so I'm looking at your sales comparison. My pages aren't numbered, so I don't know if I'm on the right page or not. But It looks like this.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
So you have five sales there. One of which is in 2023. And so, okay, price per unit, square feet, year built, lands, square feet. So you're making no adjustments then, is that correct?
Correct. We're not appraisers, the taxpayer's not an appraiser, so we by law can't make any adjustments. So we were presenting sales data that's in the market.
Now, one of the things that's unique about the subject property is its location. It is in a very high traffic area at the very high traffic count because of 395 and also because of Clearwater. So, I mean, this property has an extremely high traffic count. Some of the other locations I'm looking at, like Sandifer Parkway, has nowhere near the traffic count is that. Lee Boulevard, Steptoe, and certainly not Bonneville. George Washington Way, possibly, but I'm not sure exactly where that property is in GWA. But that's something, well, I'd like to hear more from the assessors when we get to that point. But I have some concerns about the quality of the sales because of location, because of traffic count.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that I would say to that is the majority, three out of the five, are also comps that the assessor's office is relying upon as well.
I see that one. Okay. Now, you're basically arguing is remove the time adjusted factor. Is that correct?
Essentially, yeah, or make other adjustments as well for market conditions and anything else like that. Well, that was the argument with 2018, 19, and beginning of 2020 was arguably a stronger real estate market than 2020 after COVID, 21 when interest rates began to rise, and then throughout 2022, which served to increase cap rates and made it harder to buy and sell properties as of the date of valuation of 1/1/23. Okay. At least
I'll let the assessors speak to that then.
Okay.
Get to them.
Okay.
Do you have anything further at this point?
I just have one more section that I wanted to run
through. Sure.
And it was the income approach that was prepared by the taxpayer. You'll see it. It's on the page right before our sale comps. So included in our presentation, we submitted a few data points from TREP CRE, which is a repository of all the CMBS loan data for commercial real estate across the country. In Exhibit A, you'll see that TREP CRE reported that the market rent for retail properties in this market was $19.39 a square foot. You'll also see in Exhibit B that CoStar indicated retail market rent for the Kennewick Richland submarket of $17.63 per square foot. And according to research, the sales of 1549 George Washington Way and 1329 Lee Boulevard had reported cap rates. I don't have them written down, but I can find them, I think, for you. But the point is that from the cap rate, you can calculate what the NOI for the subject or for those sale comps were, and then divide by the square footage and come up with an NOI per square foot. And those two sales, based on their reported cap rates, would indicate NOI per square foot of $19.78 and $19.24. And these properties, again, are also sales that the assessor's office is relying upon as well. And so assuming, since those would be NOI figures, the taxpayer felt it appropriate to apply $21 per square foot for the market rent, and then took a small vacancy and collection factor, which was supported in exhibit C of our presentation. And then minimal expenses were also taken out to include for things like general and administrative, like legal and accounting, and a small percentage for management fee. The total expenses that were removed was $21,694, which equates to 7.22% of the effective gross income, which resulted in an NOI of $278,478. And dividing that by a 7% cap rate yields a value of $3,978,000, or $269.95 per square foot, which is what the value that the taxpayer has requested now in front of the board. And then the last point I'll make on the income approach is that the taxpayer felt a 7% cap rate was appropriate based on the sale comps. I believe there was a sale comp at around 6.5% and 6.87%. It's, again, they felt largely due to the changing interest rate environment throughout 2022 served to increase cap rates. Furthermore, the tenant here is Walgreens, and they're not as surefire of a tenant as they have historically been for, say, the last 10 years. They've been closing stores all across the country. Furthermore, their credit rating was actually downgraded recently by Moody's to junk bond status. So the taxpayer felt the 7% was appropriate based on the sale comps and also the risk associated with potentially having to re-tenant a property or anything like that, depending on what happens.
Well, historically, when we've seen income approaches, we see 5 years of data for the specific entity, for the subject property, and then we see an average of those 5 years. And then we go through the calculations that you just have. Now, I'm not sure you're doing a hypothetical, if I understand right. The 21% market rental rate of $21, does that speak directly to the subject property? Is that what you're renting the subject property for?
No. So the subject property, well, so we represent the tenant, and so we don't have access to the actual financials for the property. Furthermore, the specific Walgreens, I think, is on a long-term build-to-suit lease as well. So the taxpayer felt it was more appropriate to look to the market than their specific lease.
Yeah, but that's not what we typically see in an income analysis. I mean, typically an income analysis is specific to the subject property, and it provides this data from that subject property over a period of time that we can then average and then go through the calculations you just did. So this seems to be more of a hypothetical analysis than it does an income analysis that we're accustomed to seeing. So we'll have to take that into consideration. So, okay, anything further at this point?
No, that's all I have so far.
Let me make a note here. Stephen, are you presenting?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I did have a couple questions of clarification for
sure.
me personally. I'm kind of confused. Mr. Brusk, you're an attorney at law?
I am in Ohio.
Okay. Because it's, you know, typically you don't hear attorneys giving testimony. That was confusing me for a minute. Because in this state, it's a, that's not something that is done.
Yeah, sorry, I wasn't trying to, I wasn't acting as an attorney here or anything. I was just trying to present the evidence on behalf of the taxpayer.
Okay. So this evidence that was given, typically we see what, and what George was trying to discuss is typically, you know, you cited a lot of stuff, but none of it was provided. Could you, and we formally requested the actual income and expense, which if we go to the BTA, we will subpoena. I mean,
okay.
It will be subpoenaed. I mean, and we can have the board, there's a RCW that says that the Department of Revenue from the state of Washington can, and they will be issuing the subpoena.
Okay.
It is a built to suit lease that could be taken into consideration. That's why we asked for the lease, because that's quite easily taken out. But
okay.
None of the specifics, the rent comps, the cap rates, you know, you give the cap rate, but you don't cite. I mean, you know, a lot of this in my mind is hearsay, which how do we work on this when, and as far as your comparable number one, it was in 2023, which as long as you make an adjustment for time is fine. But the problem is it's a dark property, whether it is currently under lease and they have a contractual agreement to pay, it's still a dark property, which typically, as far as the courts are concerned, isn't done. And none of this, you know, and I think what George is trying to say is that, you know, seems not like a pro forma because pro formas are supported and backed up by sales. And you know, you kind of weave in and out of, you know, you're not appraisers, but he's done this complicated analysis, but he doesn't cite anything. He doesn't provide anything. So that's my issue, and the reason that we haven't been able to come to an accord is because all this analysis that was done, you know, you refuse to provide the lease, you refuse to provide the actuals. I mean, here on one side, it just seems shell game-ish to us, which is why we weren't able to come to a compromise, and we had to come and, you know, effectively kind of waste these gentlemen's time. But I'll let, but you see where I'm coming from, Mr. Brusk?
Yeah, no, and I mean, I tried to provide the support for it. To me, it's, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it would be no different than how a mass appraisal income approach would be done as well.
We do appraisals. On commercial, we do appraisals. And
okay.
At the BTA, we'll have a full-blown cap rate comps, lease comps. The problem with using the research that the owner has used is it refers to all retail, the full spectrum of what is available to lease at the time that the research was done, not at the time of assessment, but at the time that research was done. So all retail available leases, you know, by CBRE and a lot of these other data services, they're not pharmacies. They're not pharmacies. They're retail, which means they could be big box, they could be warehouse, they could be discount, they could be warehouse discount, and that's another issue. And another issue that, you know, I'll be honest, would never hold up to scrutiny. And I think you understand why. I'm going to let Steve go over some of our specifics, and thank you.
Stephen, before you start, I know I see you've done a cost approach, a sales approach, and an income. Well, I guess you didn't do an income. So are you primarily relying upon the sales approach?
Yes.
Okay, good. Could you speak to that then?
That's RCW. If you look at the RCW, the cited.
Right.
And
we understand.
The RCW requires that we, you know, when available, that we look at sales. We're not saying that they're absolutely 100% comparable. Certainly, the locations are not. Thank you.
Right. So, I mean, we understand that sales, the board understands that sales are the primary method for valuing property, and that the cost approach and income approaches can be used, but the sales approach is primary in Washington.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Stephen.
All right. So just to remind everybody, which everybody seems to know already, but it's the location that is a huge difference. If you look on my addenda on page 4, 5, 6, and 7, I do put the traffic counts down. Georgia.
Yeah, that's something I already alluded to.
Okay. So the land sales, now you said the cost approach, but kind of like the land sales is what really tells the tale. You just look at our land sell approach, which is on page 4 of ours. It really shows what the land is selling around there for. I added on page 4 of our, not the addenda, but the write up.
Right. Yeah, I have it. R4.
We have the land right across the street from it for selling for $51.60 a square foot. Another one across Clearwater selling for $70.50.
And to make some clarity there, those are the highest land sales in the Tri-Cities ever.
I can understand because of the traffic count. Right. I understand that.
Yeah. I threw on land sale 5 just because it's close to what we are at.
And that's a 2023 sale, I see.
Yeah, and it's close to where we're at, and it just shows you the difference, because if you go over to page 9, it's on 7th and 395, which is...
Yeah, I know where that's at.
Different type of an area. And it's nowhere near what Clearwater and 395 are.
Right. Understand.
So,
real quick, the appellant made a point of the amount of increase in valuation this year. Is this the 6-year cycle?
It was actually the previous year, and I'm not sure. I don't have that open. I could open it up. I can't remember if that big jump was last year or this year for 1/1/2021 or, I mean, 2022 or 2023. But it was either last year or this year, George.
Okay. Well, the appellant seemed to indicate it was this year, but.
Yeah. According to the notices we got, it was 1/1/23, just so you.
There's a big explanation, but basically, you know, there are we have a cycle, a 6-year cycle, and more of a deep dive is done every 6 year, and also as sales become available, because we look at different, we value different property types. In this county, we have enough sales that mass appraisal certainly is a check, but we also do, and this is based, you know, this is based on appraisals. This is not a mass appraisal that we're presenting. This is an appraisal.
You spoke to the fact that sales have been muted because of higher interest rates and COVID and other factors. We haven't seen that in the specific area. In fact, 21 and 22 were probably the peak of the market, and then it started, 23 started to soften. So, okay.
Yes, certainly the sales volume went down, but not significantly. I mean, significantly, but not enormously in 2023. And we did see you know, cap rates start to climb in 2023, according to our studies, that are local studies.
Okay. Okay, Stephen, can you go ahead and go back to your page 12, the improved sales?
Okay. Okay, so we wanted to find other drug stores, since that's what we're valuing. Let's see. Three of our four comparable sales all came up to $394 a square foot. The fourth one is on Lee that has a very significant less traffic.
Right, understand.
We're below the mean and the median on these. They seem reasonable to us as comps. They're clearly not in the same location. The one with the most, I think we didn't actually use that one, but is the tax advisor here did, and that one was, let's see, I have it on here somewhere. Oh, you know what? It's in my workup too. I did a write-up on all of their sales comps as well in my write-up. In the addenda, it's on starting on page 24. I took pictures and I went out and I kind of made little comments on their sales comps.
Page what now?
Page 24 in the addenda. I did a write-up on their sales comps.
Okay.
Talks about each one of their sales comps. I went out and took pictures.
In-home medical? That's not really a drugstore.
No. That's
It's now a Windermere real estate office. So what happened to the store? Interesting.
Yeah, and there that one in particular that only had 7,000 cars per day, a little over 7,000 cars per day.
Yeah, that's not a, you know, it's a growing area, but it's not a real high traffic count road. I've been on it many times, so. Okay.
So then I also addressed the traffic count differences on page 26 with the ones that are on there that are also ours. They included the Steptoe one. The Steptoe one was a lease buyback, so it's kind of more of a minimum value. And they did have significant traffic there, but on where I put down on B, the difference is 18,000 cars per day if you combine all the different roads around. It still comes up to be 18,000, the difference. So it's still pretty significant difference between the traffic of Steptoe and Gage.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now can you speak a bit to the nature of a time-adjusted sale and why you adjust that way and why it's appropriate to adjust that way?
Well, we have the double sales study on page 8, I think, is the land one. Page 9 is the double sales study.
Is that in the main package or the addendum?
It's in the addenda, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the reference type material we like to put in the addendum so that it's not kind of in your way, but if you want to look at
we ask you to do that.
You did. And we just want to, make things as clean on the regular packet as possible.
Okay, land sales. Then commercial double sale. Okay. What's the month?
Generally speaking, in the commercial market, kind of the Southgate region is the last vestige of open area in Kennewick, for large developments like the subject, for large retail, big box, or those kind of properties. Kennewick is really kind of run out of, besides that Southgate area, has kind of run out of. Run out of
Excuse me,
room.
do you mean South Ridge?
South Ridge, I'm sorry. South Ridge, not South.
Yeah, South Gate is in a totally different place.
Yeah, South Ridge, I'm sorry, I misspoke. But yeah, that's the only area that's really left for development, and all the large, you know, retail or whatever it happens to be, where a larger site is required, those are all being, you know, snapped up, and the demand very high. And it's getting to the point, as far as multifamily goes in Kennewick, that we're beginning to see houses tore down to put multifamily up. That's the demand situation for land in Kennewick today. I mean, we have to go look. We just converted three or four residential properties to commercial properties because they're literally tearing houses down to build apartments.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so looking at your double sales study on page R9 of the addendum, I see you have a percent change per year. So let's see, percent change, difference in months, so.
And we show the right column, that's the percent change per year. And we show over this time range, the average per annum percent change and the average and the median percent change, which is the mid, the most probable we consider. And very often we use the average can be heavily weighed or heavily influenced by outliers. And the median doesn't have that heavy influence. We use the median, and our, we try to be conservative with the time adjustment, so we're well below the median.
Okay, so you're using a 6% rate, while your data shows it could be as high as 15 or 20%, right? Is that what I'm reading?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I've seen commercial appraisals using 10 to 12%. Per annum in this same term. I mean, that's not 2023, that's not 2024, that's 1/1/2023. And that's specifically those appraisals that I'm mentioning, that those time adjustments are, I've seen a range 10 to 12, but we try to be reasonable and conservative with our time adjustments.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, how do you reconcile the fact that some of these locations, in fact, most of them, have nowhere near the traffic count of the subject property? Now, how do you reconcile that? I mean, that would suggest these are low-ball values. Is that what that would suggest?
That they're you know, when in reference to the subject, they are the lower end of the range. Yeah. Meaning the sales that we have, because yes, true market value is very, very closely tied at the hip to the traffic count, especially in the land. But as goes the land, goes the improvements. And we have seen things selling along that. I mean, obviously Highland Center, obviously not a pharmacy, but has a pharmacy within, sold and sold for much more than it sold for several years ago. I think it sold in 16 and then turned around, and I guess the price was agreed on in 2021. I can't remember, but as far as double sales, that's a retail that's, has had a lot of growth. I don't know. I think we might have that one on there, and it's much, much larger than the subject because it's obviously a neighborhood shopping center,
but right.
Same vicinity, and the appreciation year to year appreciation has been pretty high. I think we might
have. Yeah, I mean, I understand, but Vista Way has nowhere near the traffic count of Clearwater, but.
True. Yeah.
Okay. So you're basically telling the board that your sales that you have here represent like drugstores, and that they, because of their traffic count, are likely lower expected to be lower in value than the subject property. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Anything further at this point?
No, I think we're good. We've covered it well. If you have any other questions, we're happy to answer any other questions.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Brusk, any comments at this point?
Am I allowed to ask the assessor's office one question?
Sure.
I guess, so I was just wondering, so I on parcel ending in 005, was there some sort of classification change or something, maybe in your cost approach, that would cause the improvements value to increase so much? I think it went from in 2022 to from 408,820 to 1.796280 in 23. But the other parcel ending in 001, the improvement value stayed the same. And I get the whole land and the land argument and the land increasing, of course, but I was just wondering on that specific point.
I think when it was inspected, in the end, it's better to look at the whole and the whole value between the two parcels. And sometimes previous owners and you know, we do like to do things as the previous as the owners like to see them. And I'm pretty sure that in the past, the owner asked for a certain division of the improvement value between one and the other. And the appraiser doing the site inspection and doing the appraisal may have changed the ratio of how much is shown on one to the other. But in the end, we're here to defend the overall value. If the owner would like them divided in a different way, they could certainly call me on our emails. I have my phone number. If the owner, he or she, I don't know, if the owner or owners would like them all put all the improvement value put on another, on just one of the two, to make it simpler for analytical purposes. But I can't exactly, I didn't do the appraisal. I review and the overall value fit within our checks and balances of, you know, the factors that we check. But I don't know why that ratio changed, but I think that's effectively what it was. But in the end, we're here today to discuss the overall value.
I mean, Mark, is it fair to say that, I mean, from the board's perspective, we should basically add the values together for the two parcels and then look at the total change? And
yes. And you know, in the end, like I mentioned to Mr. Brusca, you know, we are truly here just to defend, and I can't say, because I think Brad or some, I think Brad did the inspection for us, the most recent inspection, and he may have changed that based on some factor that I'm unaware of. And I just hate to give an answer that, you know, so I don't know, but in the end, looking at the overall price per square foot, looking at the overall value, I think that's the best way to go. And that's certainly what we're here to defend.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Risk, you raised a couple of other concerns. One was time adjusted sale valuation, but you had some other concerns about why other factors weren't considered.
Yeah, no, it was just bringing up the point that the time adjustments tended to increase the values, but there could be other factors included that would offset some of that increase, maybe, or something like that, since in adjusting sales.
We don't adjust sales based on national data. We adjust sales based on our local data, and we could quantify and make adjustments based on traffic counts. But we do, obviously the land value is tied to local sales. The improvement value is tied to local sales. And some of the things that you brought up, some of the influence factors that you brought up are kind of national kind of trends. And the national trends don't always lay, they may be similar, but they're certainly, the peak of the market. I agree with Mr. Romano that the peak of the market here was, late 2022, early 2023, and that we really saw the drop off of, the increase in cap rates and we haven't seen lease rates. We've seen lease rates continue to increase here. Vacancy has gone up, but only slightly. We have seen expenses go up over time, and certainly those are things that we're gonna are gonna be reflected in the future valuation for 1/1/2024 and 1/1/2025, because we are seeing nationally and locally that expenses have gone up and cap rates have started to creep up here locally. But those were considerations, and according to our local studies, and certainly the as a reminder, the duty of persuasion is in the appellant here in this state. And certainly if you have any local studies that, certainly those could be presented, and we'd happily look at those. And but we asked for a lot of specifics, and we kind of weren't given very many. We were allowed to inspect this subject property, and when we inspected the subject property, we saw that it is maintained in a lightning situation. I know this pharmacy. I go to this pharmacy. I've actually gone, and I know it's hearsay, but it is my personal sworn testimony that I've gone to that pharmacy. It's the only one open in Kennewick late at night, past 7 or 8. And I've gone at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they told me my prescription would be done at 7 a.m. That's how busy. I mean, I literally was in the line for 45 minutes. And then after 45 minutes, I mean, it is a very busy pharmacy. And yes, we're not talking about going concern here. We're not talking about, but the location, I mean, I think the location is recognized as a very good location. It's the only pharmacy that stays open very late through the wee hours of the morning. I think the location here, and anyone who's familiar knows that that location is an exceptional location. That the pharmacy is in very good condition, if not like new. I would consider it, in my professional opinion, as a like new condition. We do consider all those factors. We do like to have double sales studies, or what they call paired sales analysis, for if we're going to do traffic counts, which that research is very intensive. So, we value based on market sales and the traffic counts. That is a factor that we consider very heavily, but we don't make direct adjustments.
I've got a question, George.
Yeah, Peter, go ahead.
So, in thinking about the factors when in the assessor's opinion, if you had applied a factor to traffic counts, I think what I'm hearing is that your appraised value would have gone higher. Yeah, okay, I just wanted to verify that. Thank you.
Yeah, and our land value there is significantly lower than the sales, than the very microcosm local sales there, because we have, two sales that are in very close proximity that are extremely high. Like I said, the highest per square foot land sales in the Tri-Cities that I have ever seen in
Yeah,
the
no,
9 years that I've
I
been
think
here.
you've been very fair. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Brusk?
Nothing further.
Okay. Assessors, anything further from you?
No, thank you. We appreciate your time, gentlemen.
Okay. And Peter, any further questions?
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Marisol, let's adjourn the hearing and we will.